sometimes we see a contradiction between the teaching on ultimate truth, emptiness, Buddha's teaching on wisdom, realizing emptiness, and Buddha's teaching on compassion, love and compassion, wishing to help living beings be free from suffering. We see a contradiction. So now Geshe-la gives a clear explanation how we can resolve that contradiction. He says, we should know that all the phenomena that we normally perceive or see do not exist. And all living beings, including ourselves, we normally see or perceive, do not exist. This is the truth. However, sometimes we may find this difficult to accept because of mistakenly thinking. If all living beings, including ourselves, that we normally see or perceive, do not exist, then how can we practice renunciation, compassion, love, and bodhicitta? And thinking in this way, we develop confusion, which interferes with our daily Dharma practice. Okay, so we have this idea, don't we? Oh, the things I normally see don't exist. And of course, we go to an extreme. We think nothing exists, which is wrong. Yeah. And then we think, well, if nothing exists, these sentient beings who are suffering don't exist. Therefore, it's not appropriate for me to develop love or compassion for them. It doesn't make sense. So we have a big misunderstanding. So now Geshe-la uses Jesom Karpa's special instructions to help us to clarify this point and make clear that there's no contradiction at all. It's perfectly fine, on the one hand, to understand clearly that the things we normally see don't exist. On the other hand, to practice renunciation, love, compassion, bodhicitta for all living beings. Completely correct, completely appropriate. He says, we can solve this problem through special instructions of Jesom Karpa that clarify this subject. Jesom Karpa said, whenever we see or perceive any phenomenon, any living being or ourself, we see or perceive them only as inherently existent. Since inherent existence does not exist, all phenomena we normally see or perceive do not exist. All living beings we normally see do not exist. And ourself we normally see does not exist. Okay, so I hope we understand this. When we say inherently existent, that is the things we normally see. Normally we see things as existing from their own side, through their own power, objectively, really out there as we perceive them. We see them out there, we believe, oh yes, these objects are really out there, inherently existent, the things we normally see. But things don't exist like that at all. Okay, this is true. We don't exist in the way we perceive ourselves. Other sentient beings don't exist in the way we normally see them. All inanimate phenomena in the universe, the entire universe does not exist in that way. So that is correct. However, we should know that all phenomena, all living beings and ourselves exist as mere name. So again, this may be, what do you mean mere name? What does that mean? Well, if you think the word mere, again, means the same as I just explained. It means there's nothing from the side of the object. Mere name. Name. So a clock, for example, it's mere name, clock. If we want to go deeper, we want to search behind the name to try to find a real clock that we can point to, we'll always fail. If we search with wisdom, we'll always fail. We'll never find one. But if we're happy to accept the name clock, yeah, when we see, you know, that thing on the wall with the handles going round and telling us the time, that's what a clock is, isn't it? If we say, oh, there's a clock, and we don't want to search any further, trying to find a real clock, then everything works, you know? And the clock exists as a mere name. Anyway, again, this is quite profound. It's quite difficult to appreciate this, but this is the truth, again. Things do exist. You exist, I exist. All phenomena exist as mere name. The people we normally see, the things we normally see, do not exist because they're inherently existent. They do not. You cannot find an inherent existent person or thing. Okay. So things exist as mere name. This recognition of phenomena, living beings and ourselves, is completely correct. All living beings, including ourselves, exist as mere name and each have their own function. So this thing about their having a function, this is proof that things exist. If something does a job, the clock tells the time, your body does whatever your body does, and a car does what a car does, microphones do what microphones do, and cameras do what cameras do, and so forth. If these objects all function, they exist. It's a really good reason for saying they exist, because they function. Yeah? Clock functions to tell the time. Car functions to take me somewhere. But if we believe the objects that we normally see, the clock we normally see, the car we normally see, in other words, an inherent existent clock or car, if we believe that's true, we're wrong, because we can never find such an object. We can search and search and search amongst all the parts of the clock, all the parts of the car, separate from the parts and so forth. We'll never find anything. We won't even find the name, actually. It's just a name, just a sound. But if we're happy with the sound, the name is okay. Everything works. So Geshe-la says, so through being satisfied with their mere name, we can practice renunciation, compassion, love, and bodhicitta, and all the other instructions. Yeah? So we see living beings who are experiencing suffering as mere name. It's appropriate to develop compassion. Yeah? Those living beings exist. Their suffering exists. How does it exist? As mere name. It's appropriate to develop compassion. What is that compassion? It's simply mere name, compassion. Oh, everything works. Everything functions perfectly well. This is reality.